Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning from sunny California. I don't know what else is going on in California, but I can tell you right now, if it has anything to do with the Footman to the Rescue First Blood, hey, we're on top of our game. I'm Marcia Cappuccino. They call me Dr. Cappuccino. And the Dr. Cappuccino show is put in effect so that those that are outside the gate, inside the gate of life, can have a second, third, fourth, fifth, and other chances at life and at getting it right and at learning how to live the best life you can while you live for the sake of others. Now, that might not sound good to some. Some might say, oh, you know what, it's not worth it. You know, I've tried to be nice to my family. I've tried to be nice to my friends. Nothing good comes out of that. I go out, you know, into the neighborhood, to the community, and I'm, you know, walking about, I'm driving about, I'm looking, and I'm booking on people being somewhere where I can be of help to them. And, you know, I see things getting worse. But right now, we're going to be talking about, on this show for the next 30 minutes, Footman to the Rescue First Blood. Well, what is that? Well, footmen to the rescue are those that they can do good for, that they can encourage, that they can throw and wrap their arms around. I'm not talking about, you know, like some of these others that are hugging people, smelling their hair, and doing all kind of calculated things to get attention. No, we are talking about people that is asking the question whether or not there's any hope for people suffering in so many ways in their daily lives. You know, we're told that we're our brother's keeper, and we don't have to read it in a book. We know by instinct, and just by the fact that we are human beings living among other human beings, we are brother's keeper. And all the good in the world will only remain because each one, teach one, and of course hold the family first where they evolved out of. If you or someone you know is in emotional pain, lack human resources to fully enjoy life, not the life you see on TV, but the life that you know innately, that you feel in your heart and soul, that you need to be living. And if any is in need of lifelong friends who care, this is what we are about. The footmen to the rescue. We're here for you. And we're going to talk about some of the ways the footmen to the rescue First Blood is in operation to do. We're going to be joined by Colonel Dr. William Harrison very shortly. He's in a meeting, and he's on his way out of that meeting because he says he dares not to miss a show. But now let's get back to our topic, footmen to the rescue. Why is there a need for rescue? Well, number one, we see so many things going on in the world that many don't understand. They don't understand, well, you know, what role am I playing in the world if all this mess is happening? Every time I turn the radio on, boom, it's a problem. Turn the TV on, boom, I see a problem. Go into my home, it's already a problem in progress. What in the heck is going on? Many are saying because of so many troubles and trials, can you live? They're saying, what the hell, what the heck? I don't think this is anything I want to be involved in any longer. I was born, then I could come here, and it's been hell to pay ever since I put my a diaper on. You know, I'm sad and sick about that. Well, we can't, all of us, decide to throw ourselves off a bridge and end it all. Some of us know that's not the way to go. Some of us probably have tried that and failed and have found out that is not the way to go. Giving up on yourself, your family, your life, that's not the way to go. Stepping back for retrospect, now that might be the way to go. Stepping back, getting into a quiet place, finding someone's home that you can go into for a week or two for retrospect. That is what a person is advised to do. But with the help of the Footman to the Rescue, this program is like none other. You know, we might see other religious entities going, walking, and knocking on doors, going door to door. This is not that. What Footmen to the Rescue is identifying entire neighborhoods, entire communities that is suffering and crying out, not knowing what to do because they're either got one foot on the outside the door, they're hungry, they don't have what they feel they should have in life as a human being. Maybe they've been overlooked, neglected, shortchanged early on in life that have brought them to a point where they're saying it's not worth it, F it, screw it, I'm out of here. We don't want that to happen. So the Footmen to the Rescue is a component of the International Platform for Peace, USA Division, that has put in operations from one's home, from your computer, from the street corner, from the street, to seek out and identify others that might be sighing and groaning over conditions that they find themselves in. We're here to identify your problem, help you identify what solutions might be, and then, of course, we're here to stand shoulder to shoulder with you to rescue you from any problems that you can't seem to get out of. Yes, you can pick up the suicide hotline on any cell phone. Yes, you can go and beg down at any community center. Yes, you can start calling around like a maniac, cussing and fussing at officials saying, you know, you guys haven't done what you're doing. Look at L.A., look at Chicago, look at Texas. I mean, we could do that, but that's not going to solve the problem at all. That's only going to excavate it. It's not going to solve the problem. And I know some of you are saying, well, okay, I want to join the Footmen to the Rescue, First Blood. How do I get involved? What do I do? How do I know this is for me? What are the benefits? Well, Colonel Harrison has just joined us. Hi there. Good morning, Colonel, Dr. Harrison. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Dr. Kapstein. I'm doing fine. Thank you for the invitation again, and to you and your listening audience. I wish I'd had an opportunity to join you again. Thank you very kindly.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Well, we just learned from 5 seconds ago to many of our previous shows that humankind is in problems. They're in trouble. They're in sickness. They're in pain. They're walking in neglect. They're walking in hatred. So much is going on that is ruining the lives of able-bodied men and women, and Footmen to the Rescue is here to help solve that problem. It starts one person at a time. And we know with Footmen to the Rescue, people are saying, well, yeah, you know, I'm going to get out there. You know what? I want to help. I want to do whatever I can. But what's going to happen to me? What are some of the benefits? If I come on board and say, okay, I'm going to make 5 calls a week. I'm going to be out on the street corner 2 hours a week. You know, I'm going to be walking around my neighborhood once or twice a week to see who I might be able to help or to comfort or to help them solve a problem that seems to be insurmountable. But what am I going to get if I do this? I'm only human, too. I might need some comfort and some help. But with all retrospect, Colonel Harrison, can you explain to our listening audience what some of the benefits might be for coming aboard, joining the Footmen to the Rescue First Blood?
Yes, Doc. Before I get to the official benefits, let me just speak about the social benefits, social moral benefits. We are our brother and sister's keeper, and we are commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. And if we don't care for one another, we don't love each other, we don't have compassion for one another, we don't help to provide for one another when one has a situation, whether it's medical, whether they need food, whether they need clothing, shelter, whatever it is, then we're going to perish together. From it to the rescue There's a First Blood program that's community-based, teaching neighbors to look out for neighbors, to help one another, and we've gotten away from that somehow, but it's bigger than that. Together we stand, divided we fall. This country was built upon the precept of initially the American Indian, and then other immigrants came from the foreign countries and land, but we are here together now. We're all in the same boat together. Even though our ancestors may have come over from abroad on different ships, we're now in the same boat together. So either we succeed together or we perish together. And our communities, we've got to take back our communities as citizens. So there's not enough police officers to do everything. So citizens got to be involved in people helping people. Now, from an official point of view, give you an official answer, the first benefit will be for those who joined the Platform for Peace. They'll be able to, of course, be involved in peace world initiatives. And then the second benefit, they get to meet with elected officials and community activists to talk about plans on how to benefit the communities, bring about peace, help those who are in need, seniors, and so forth and so on. And the third thing, then I'll hold my peace. Opportunity to become a peace ambassador. So helping people at the grassroots levels of footmen, you become actually a peace ambassador, advocate for peace, advocate for the betterment of mankind, man, woman, and child. So I'll pause with that, Doc.
Yes, but that's certainly noble. But Colonel Harrison, why is it that when a neighborhood or a community starts to slide to the side, they start going down under fast? Why is it that they seek to blame the elected officials rather than join forces with each other in the neighborhood and say, okay, I'm going to watch for you, you watch for me. If you need anything, you call, contact me, and I'll do the same. You know, if you need someone to look after your children, I'm here. You know, if you don't have the amount of food you need for the week for your family, I'm here. I mean, why would we not do that rather than start reaching out blaming the officials, which that's really not their job. Their job is to have oversight of the neighborhood and the communities and then make those kind of referrals for community resources. But if you need something within 5 minutes, let's not be a fool. I don't think you can depend on the officials, and they're gone after 5 o'clock, and then on the weekends you're not going to get them. Why do communities tend to reach out to the officials and then blame them when there's a problem in their community?
Excellent question, and I believe I have the answer. The communities depend on elected officials because most, not all, most elected officials, when they put forth their platform of what they're going to do for the various communities that they're running for an elected office in, that they're going to do this for the community, they're going to do that for the community, they're going to do the other for the community. So people in the community believe that because that elected official has put forth that proposition or put forth that as their plan as what they will do for the community if elected. And so people then buy into that, believe in that, and they depend on that. Now, elected officials will do certain things, but they're not going to do the grassroots thing that we can do for each other. We have to empower each other at the grassroots level, neighbor helping neighbor. Get to know who your next door neighbor is. Get to know their children and see what their needs are. There are some of us who have been blessed where we have resources that we can help others. Elected officials are designed to help us with the social programs and the providing of social benefits and things of that at the city, county, and town and state level, but not at the community-based level. That is a people's issue. That's a people's challenge. That's a people's problem, and we need to work together to fix it again.
My goodness, that is so true. That's a people problem because let's face the fact, if a giant earthquake comes, you might not be able to get down to City Hall and start whining, but you know you can reach out your window across that crack in the earth and see if your neighbor's okay. The city officials may not be able to get to you. The fire department may not be able to get to you. Law enforcement surely may not be able to get to you. Ambulances, other resources. that should be in the community prior to an earthquake. Hey, you may not get them. So just like you said, I think that neighbor to neighbor, friend to friend, across the street neighbor, these are the ones that are going to be able to provide immediate help. And thank God, Footman to the Rescue, First Blood, is on the ground to make sure that if something like that should happen, there's the help needed, because people living next door to each other can reach them quicker. Communities that, hey, are centered in faith, love, and on a road to peace, those are the ones right there within that circumference that's going to be able to help you. But I think, too, with people trying to blame the officials, it takes the spotlight and the spot cast off of them. We don't need to sit around talking about what the mayor said or what the supervisor said, and nothing seems to change. They're doing their job 9 to 5. That's the job for them. They are not angelic saviors. That is a job for them. So it puts the spotlight right back into the backyard of those that care about others, want to learn how to care about others, and, of course, want to learn how to, you know, befriend them and to let them know that I'm a beacon of light right next door. Stop the mess. Here I am. If you need help, here I am. What are the qualifications for those that are interested in becoming a footman to the rescue?
Well, all the, that basically they just need to have a willingness and a desire to help others, and be over 18 years of age, and can go to our website and fill out the application, and certainly the diplomatic counselor will follow up with the online application and get the information to them, resource information to them as to how they can become mobilized within their community. So we it's open to people from all walks of life, male, female, young, old, middle age. The door is open, so now's the time for action, for us to come together, unite, get involved, and help one another, because the world is in a bad way.
It's in a bad way, and it's getting worse. But I know as the diplomatic counselor for the IPFP, we've gotten some calls from young people now want to get involved as footmen and also as cabinet ministers of the IPFP. I got a call yesterday from someone that identified himself as a gang member. He didn't want to give his name, but he wanted to know. He says, I'm just calling to find out. Are former and current gangbangers needed? And, of course, you know, I wanted to get a little bit more dialogue from him. And he says that really it's the gangsters that are on the street as footmen for either their gang or either for the affiliation to get in one, and were they welcome as a cabinet member or footman to the rescue prospect. What are the qualifications? What do I need to do? And as I talked and sort of explained things, he said, well, you guys need us. Now, the us probably means more of them, because he said again that they ruled the streets in L.A., and that nothing really happens unless they know about it. And if we ever need any backup, you know, they knew that we were going to be hosting a walkabout from 2 a.m. in the morning until 4. And he said that was a good idea because all the average Joe Blow working people are in bed and fast asleep. But he said the witching hour is the hours that we use to move about the streets with less traffic and with less eyes looking and watching. But he says it's more of us up at night doing our thing at that particular hour than those that would be, you know, sleeping, getting ready to go to work, you know, like 5:30 or 6. So he also helped and said we could have the help of his friends too. So just let him know. And I said, oh, okay, well, how can we contact you? And, of course, the phone hung up. So I'm hoping, or maybe I shouldn't be hoping, but I'm hoping that he does call again. But he and whoever his affiliates are offered help with us if they knew exactly where we were going to be at. And that's not listed in the information that we posted. We said if you're RSVP, we'll let you know where we're going to meet up. And, again, that is coming up. We will probably mention that at our next broadcast show for any that wants to meet the 1,000 women in white, followed by 100 men in black, is a former component of the IPFP. But we'll be talking more about that. That was a very interesting call, and the gentleman sounded very well educated. So, you know, that can, you know, make us feel that the people running around calling themselves gangsters are not really dumb, stupid fools. These are people that are educated. They have jobs during the day, but then at night they come out in all blue, all red. We will have more to report about that, because that was a good idea to act as a watchman over the footmen, over those that would be going out in all white and men in black, to say, we're not afraid. Here we are. What can we do to help stem the tide of this violence? So you guys keep posted here, and you will hear Colonel Harrison's idea and thought, and, of course, mine. And if any of you would like to visit our site, the call numbers for the website is www.ip4peace.org. IP4peace.org. Go take a look around and see what we've done, see who some of the people are that are involved, and then let us know if you're further interested. Now, back to the footmen to the rescue First Blood. Colonel Harrison, why did this come about? Why now? Why a need for these footmen? We already know it's a need. But why do you think the need has even developed? Why are we in the shape that we are talking about being footmen, going out, trying to do any kind of good for our neighbors? Why the need? What has happened in America? What has happened in our world that even has a need for footmen? Talking about, hey, we're coming to your door. We're coming to your home via cell phone or computer. Why the need? Where did the need develop?
The need developed, Doc, because we have become removed from each other as a people without regard to race, color, creed, nationality. We have become removed from people. We are in a technological society. We've become very impersonal, relying on Twitter, relying on email, relying on Facebook, relying on those other electronic networks out there, internet and so forth. And while there's a need for those things, we have put more dependency on electronic support systems than we have in our interpersonal communication with each other and being concerned about one another's welfare. It was never designed for us to not interact with each other. Human beings were created to be interactive beings, to be loving, be compassionate, be kind for each other. And so because we have become removed, because we have depended on technology, we've become more distant and estranged from each other and less caring about each other's social welfare and betterment.
That's very true. And people are saying that people overseas now are shot callers and causing great fear in America. And that is also why people are tending to run amok away from the standards of living that perhaps they grew up in. In fact, there was a man crying on one of our news broadcasts, saying that he's really longing for the America that once was, and he doesn't even know what's happened. And he was sitting on their stool with his hands, you know, on his face, crying. That's what the caption was saying. So people, while they're longing for times gone by, they're also jockeying for outer space residents. Where have we lost ourselves? Where have we crossed the line to almost no return? Where have we made the decision to accept doom rather than pleasure? What has happened to us as a people, according to how your standards might be, especially in your book, that, oh, my God, it's just really shocking, talking about solutions to chaos. What in the hell has happened to us?
we just become distant, we become removed, we just become less caring, and we become dependent on social systems, and we also become depending on elected officials' representation. We just got to go back to the basic. The African said it takes a village, the African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child. The same with communities. Communities are based upon people. People live in communities. Communities are made up of families. Families are made up of people, husband, wife, children, so forth. So we just got to go back to the grassroots beginning and start building the same as you would build a building. One building at a time, one family at a time, one house at a time, one community at a time, and go back to the infrastructure that this nation was built upon that still works if we go back and revisit it.
Well, why do you think, Colonel Harrison, there's so many that don't want that? You know, there's a scripture that says people love darkness rather than light. Why is it that once a movement such as the Footman to the Rescue takes root, you have people that, you know, want to fight against that? You know, they don't know it's a good idea. I don't want nobody knocking on my door. You know, I'm my business is mine. Now, they're getting ready to jump off a ninth-story building if they're still talking out the left side of their mouth, saying, no, that's not a good idea. You know, I don't want that. I got two guns in my closet. You know, I can take care of myself, F everybody else and everything, and the horse that they rode in on. Why is that? Why is there a pushback against people doing good?
That's probably pushback, I believe, Doc, because people are self-centered and more concerned about self than they are others, the welfare of others. They have strength in numbers. Together we stand, divided we fall. The principles we are talking about now, which are social values that this country was built upon, that still work. And people resist it because they want to do what they want to do, and they want their idea, they want their concept, they want their philosophy to be embraced by others so they can have people say, look how great he is because he came up with the idea. It's not about one individual. It's about a group of individuals, about society at large. And so we have to go back because these principles are not taught to our children and the family anymore. Certain values need to be taught in the family. It's not taught, we lose them, or people want to come and inject other things that they want people to buy into, and then they forget about the social principle, the grassroots principle that really stabilized communities, stabilized families, and has stabilized this country for over 200 years.
Very, very true. Very true. And I go along with that 100% because one thing about it, people know something is going on crazy, but they cannot seem to put their finger on it. There's it right now, there's been some flooding over in Iran through the night, our time, and our time zone, and people are just killed. They've been washing up dead. I mean, every day. It's a major catastrophe, either storm or flood or this or that, or mass murder. I mean, oh, my God. People see this, but yet they say, well, you know, that's over there. Well, that's them. It's not me. Well, thank God it didn't happen to here over in America. Should we take that kind of attitude, and we have 2 minutes to go, should we take that attitude or should we praise a program such as Footman to the Rescue as one that is put in to do good?
We need to praise and embrace that which unites us and not that which divides us. Footman to the Rescue is a concept that works. It's a concept that have people caring for people. It's a concept that carries us back to the basics again so we can develop compassion, start looking out for each other's welfare, be concerned about one another, help share our resources with each other, and help rebuild our communities. Otherwise, the downward spell that this country is in, and the deterioration of the community and violence and shootings and all those things are going to continue until the people decide they're going to take back their communities.
Oh, my goodness, and we better do it fast. Thank you so much for tuning into the Dr. Cappuccino Show. You've heard from Dr. Colonel William Harrison. out of Washington, D.C., and, of course, Maryland, and, of course, Dr. Cupertino. Visit the site, www.ipforpeace.org. You'll get his information. You'll see the book cover. Thank you so much. We'll be waiting for you next week on the Dr. Cupertino Show. Have a great weekend.